Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you serious?
Hi, Marcus Bronzy here from How to Kill an Hour. This is like the intro before the intro for this episode. Because we've got the guys from Top Gear in this episode, so I figured I'd talk to you about something that is car related. Now, we've recently killed some time with The Out. Now, The Out is a new premium car rental service powered by Jaguar Land Rover. And it's based in London at the moment, hold tight, other cities in the UK, but it provides a hassle-free experience for you to basically have a high-end luxury SUV delivered to your doorstep. So with the click of a button or a few clicks in the app, you get a premium car delivered to your doorstep within 3 hours of booking. Yeah, as quick as that. And yeah, you get the car, get to drive it around and bring it back. Now, I had the choice of the Range Rover Evoque, Land Rover Discovery, Sport, Jaguar I-Pace. I went for the Range Rover Sport plug-in EV. That's because, yeah, I want to ball out in a car, but I also want to feel like I'm being a bit green. So what's cool about that car is you can actually charge it up and get about 30 miles of pure electric vehicle time to cruise around town in. But when you get on the motorway, you're not going to be stuck looking for a charging point when you're out and about, basically. So I pretty much opened up the app, picked the car that I wanted. Step two, you put in the dates that you want to have the vehicle for, when you want them to deliver it specifically. Everything's included with the delivery as well. So you get fully comprehensive insurance, additional drivers, refueling at the market rate if you don't fill out the vehicle before returning it. We'll get it can happen. Mud and snow tires are standard on all cars, unlimited mileage, full breakdown cover and Land Rover roadside assistance. You get the sat nav and in-car apps in the cars anyway, so you don't have to worry about those being added. You can get booster seats, congestion charge is covered too. I didn't know that actually until I actually did do congestion charge on the vehicle, but it's covered for that as well. You can get bike racks, dog guards and snow chains. Also, I mean, for me, it was the fact that you have the European driving as well. You're insured to drive in Europe too, which was a good look. So if you want to go for a road trip, you really can nip to France for the day. I hopped in the car and was like, right, I want to do a road trip. I don't want to go for like a mad, like, you know, long drive. I want to go for a nice, reasonable road trip with some country roads. So we headed up just outside of London to an area called Denham. I rode there with Gadget's boy, Gadget's John, and we went for a pretty cool road trip. We went for a helicopter ride across London to take some photos, and it was really cool rolling there in the range. And one, loads of space to put all of our kit in it. Two, just a luxurious drive. When you're driving a high-end car like that, when you're doing long drives, it just doesn't, like, an hour or two just melt away. Do you know what I mean? And I just want to say, like, it's really simple. You can download the app, The Out, from your app store, or you can go to theout.com. And that's what I did. And it was a really simple booking experience. So if you fancy a luxury car for a few days, for as simple as, I think it's as cheap as 150 quid a day, pretty much, depending on your three-day rental that you get out there. Yeah, check out that out. All right, I'll be Marcus Bronzy. That was the intro before the intro, before we have the Top Gear guys on the show, because basically they do drive luxury cars, but they also smash cars to pieces as well. But anyway, right, let's get on with the real intro of the show. Cheers.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and we've got a nice little treat for you in this episode. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, but I think you'll forgive us for the quality that is here, because we managed to have an exclusive chat with the guys from the brand new series of Top Gear, which is out on the 26th of January 2020. So if you're listening to that before then, make sure you put it in your EPGs, on your TVs, on your Sky Qs, whatever. Set an alarm on your phone so you can check out the new season, because it's going to be absolutely crazy. At the premiere, they showed some out-of-this-world stuff that is happening in this season. And the great thing about Top Gear, I'll say, before we get into this is, yeah, it's a car show, but it's not a car show. It's an entertainment show, and it's all about them, the guys, having a great time checking out brand new vehicles, yes, but it's also about the experiences that they go through whilst traveling the world in their vehicles. And I just want to say the chemistry between them all, like I mentioned in the interview, is better than ever. And you get a little taster of that when I sat down in Leicester Square's Odeon hours before they premiered the brand new season of Top Gear to the world. So without further ado, here's myself sitting down with Paddy McGuinness and Chris Harris from Top Gear.
Got his Rolex.
What did you drive?
Rolex there. I came in the back of a Mercedes S-Class. Oh. I was really treated this morning, and it was, I like going in the back of an S-Class.
There's a lot of leg room in there.
So I had 2 hours of the cricket watching us finally beat South Africa, which was lovely. Then I wanted the journey to end, and it kept going.
I tell you what I like the back of, as we're talking wanky being driven about things.
You like being in the
a
back
seven
of what?
Series.
Of who?
A 7 Series.
No, mate, that's all. Seven series rides too hard.
No, I tell you what, you've got more leg room.
Not a problem.
And you've got a lot more. And you've got a lot more going on in the back of one of them. I think I like them.
Well, you want toys, do you?
I like toys. Yeah, I like all that. I like the old wireless chargers and all that. Carry on, lovely.
That's the difference between a professional car test. I understand the back of an S class is better ride, better engineering.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff that people are not interested when they buy one.
Mm. Are you more of a guy when you get in a car, Paddy? If there's buttons, you've got to press each of the buttons and find out what they do.
First thing I do when I get in a car is I see where I can charge the phone up easily and where the coffee cup holders are. That's a big thing for me. That there's nothing worse than you're in a car and you get in and you go, where can I put the cup?
What about button etiquette, though? Because when I was a kid, if I got into my father's car, if I touched a button without permission, it's basically a little clip. It was, you know, this is my
off
car, I'm in control, here we go. But so if people get in the car next to me and I'm driving and they just get in and just, you know, change the temperature, I'm like, whoa, it's my car.
Yeah,
you don't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get in someone else's car and mess about with all that, Kerry. I'm on about if I was getting in driving it, them's the first things I look for.
Cup holder.
Yeah, it's important, Chris. Listen, these days, your car, you're in it pretty much all the time, aren't you? And when you're going to work, no one's got any time anymore, so you do everything while you're driving. So you've got to have your cup holder, you've got to be charging your phone up and everything else.
So you wouldn't drive a Ferrari F40 because it doesn't have a cup holder?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying cup holders are very important.
Right, so Series 28, guys.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Well, look where we are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Should we describe where we are for listeners of the podcast,
yeah,
actually?
Yeah, we're in Leicester Square, Odeon.
Yep.
Home to massive premieres over the years, like we were talking before, all the Marvel stuff, Star Wars, James Bond, and now Top Gear. We are dragging it down. We are dragging it down big time. But it's, you know, it shows you the size of the show, really. You know, it's we've just been doing interviews upstairs with, like, you know, press from South Africa and China and Poland, and it's just, it's mad.
Yeah.
You know, it's mad when you're talking to these people and, you know, it's just bonkers, but it's all good. It's all good. I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff coming up. We're really pleased with what we've produced. It's a usual mixture of Top Gear mayhem, everything from lobbing cars off dams to some serious car testing, but also racing supercars against fast jets. And yeah, I look back at the last 6 months. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. Mm. We've crammed a load in, but I'm proud of what we've produced. I don't normally say that either, but I am proud of this lot. It looks really good.
And you two are looking like you're both injury-free. You managed to get through what looked like last season as injury-free.
Not so much emotionally. Really? I was very injured emotionally, but physically kind of okay, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm surprised Flintoff's still with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he spends most of his time trying to kill himself, and he survived this time. He had a couple of close scrapes. He went off the end of a runway, lying on what can only be described as a skateboard with a rocket attached to it. And as I saw his legs start to bounce when he hit the grass, I thought, that doesn't look good.
Yeah,
there's a picture knocking around, I think. There's a green sports car and some sort of device that someone's
You were
made.
In the green one, weren't you? I was I was driving a shed at the time, an actual garden shed.
Yeah.
Fred was on this skateboard come rocket thing, and what were you in?
Skyline with 2,000 horsepower.
There you go. So, but I'm thinking of getting a sweepstake going in the office about how Flintoff's going to die. We don't know if it's going to be a bungee rocket thing. Yeah, we're going to, you know, but I'm going to get a few quid on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do fear in the way that we all do fear.
Yeah.
He's wired up differently, which is perfect for us. I mean, he was employed as a lab rat, and he's executing that perfectly.
I mean, he dragged you into a few things last season. There was that, you know, the
that hearse. Oh God, that wasn't a great moment, was it?
The hearse, I mean.
I think that's partly his fault, I've got to be honest, because
that's unfair.
Fred's one of them people were. You know when you go, someone tells you to put the hand in a fire and you go, you wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
Well, Fred would.
He was that kid at
going a bit faster, Fred, and he's like, gets all excited. And the next thing we know, we're upside down and the roof's crushed and we're all trapped in the car. And I'd like to think he'd learned his lesson from that, but I don't think he has.
No,
yeah, but before we worked with Fred, we never had a thing called an extraction unit. Now we do.
But you had him jumping up on cliffs, though, didn't you, in the last season as well? That's one thing, Chris. When you said, I don't like this, I am not feeling this, that kind of conveyed how scary it was. And Freddie's like, oh, yeah, go on, I'll have a go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't really view it the way we do. It's quite strange. I've never met anyone like that. I thought I knew fearless people until I met Fred.
No, but I think Fred's one of them where he kind of thinks, because it's on telly, he thinks it's safe. So you go, oh, it's all right, it's on telly. I'm like, no, but there's still like a 500-foot drop there, Fred.
Yeah.
That doesn't change with telly. They don't, when you fall off the cliff, go, caught, and the car just hovers and then they put it back on.
Yeah.
It's still real, but in his head, it's on telly, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, when you see later on the premiere with this bungee jump stunt we've done with him, I mean, blimey, O'Reilly. But I was there that day, there were a few moments where even he thought, this is not too funny, and he wanted us to get on with it and get it done. There were a few moments where even he did.
Yeah, I mean, that some of that stuff looks scary, so I look forward to seeing that in the next season as well. Also, the chemistry is looking stronger than ever. I'll be honest though, Chris, I feel like you get bullied a little bit sometimes by Freddie. I mean, we've seen him almost rub some mud on you, we've seen him slap a melon
almost.
On your head.
He does.
Put a melon on your head. Even I think his balls connected with your head. Other parts of his body are going to be touching your head in the next season.
How many other people have been teabagged by an international rounder in Ethiopia?
They look sweaty as well in that. You look pretty warm.
And he's getting old as well, so they're starting to really, really droopy. The whole bullying thing just makes me laugh. When you're the small man, whichever group of people I'm in, I'm always the smallest, and the small one always takes a bit, and you get used to that. I like it, I thrive on it, because ultimately I'll always win because I'm not as stupid as him. So I'm very happy with the balance, and I expect to get a bit of grief. I get my own back a bit in this series as well.
Oh God, does
so he? Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm certainly not the put upon one in this at all. At all. I mean, look at my ears. You can't see them on the podcast, but I've got normal ears. Spock to my left here hasn't got normal ears. I'd rather be small with normal ears than bullying. Big with those.
Bullying. Ear shaming, I think they call that.
It is.
That's a new one on Twitter, that. You're ear shaming me.
So, Paddy, do you feel like your driving's got better now, rolling around with Chris?
I think, like anything, when you're doing something a lot, you get better at it.
You say that, but I've done two studios with you, and you still say I'm shit.
Yeah, apart from that, apart from your presenting, but other than that, yeah. But I think, yeah, because you know, I always ask Chris about certain things when we're driving and what have you, or about, you know, taking corners faster, and that's, you know, you'd be daft not to pick his brains for that. But also as well, we have a lot of pro drivers you never see on camera. Who do, you know, they're fantastic drivers. They do so much stuff outside of Top Gear. So yeah, if you're not picking their brains when you've got a chance, you know, you've been a fool to yourself. So yeah, I think things have definitely improved.
I can be a bit glib at this point and say that they both can drive pretty damn well. They're much better than the average driver. And you couldn't really do this job if you were totally incompetent behind the wheel. It wouldn't be possible. Although, having said that, there's probably been previous Top Gear presenters that have been hopeless behind the wheel.
Oh,
shots fired.
Oh, controversial.
Yeah, do you feel like your studio game or your banter's better now rolling with these guys?
No, my banter.
Do you
banter,
know what a bomb is yet?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
So my chat's terrible according to Paddy, and right. The studios, when we prepare ourselves for the studios, the chat I get, we have a run through beforehand.
Yeah.
And quite often in the run through I'll have a little snipe, and he always pauses and goes, "You complete mug, wait for when we're recording it." Yeah. And he always, standard line is another great line that you didn't deliver on camera.
Yeah. He does all his best stuff off camera. And I'm like, when it's on, that helps us, Chris.
It's time, yeah.
Do it when that light goes red, do it then. But when it does go red, he just stands like that.
Hate it. Absolutely hate
it. What are you doing?
I want to sign a contract where I don't do the studio. I just cock about outside in the cars. The studio is just dead.
Afterwards. Yeah. Right, so what's different this time around then? A lot of people want to know what's different.
We're doing it in the nude.
Great.
Full ratings, series. Balls out the lot. Yeah. I think trainers. I think what you got to remember it with Chris and all. This is. I'm glad he said that, because this is one of the things what happens when you work with Chris Harris. When you, for instance, when we're travelling anywhere in the world, right? Chris is the kind of guy who pulls you up and has a go at you because you've got a suitcase, right? Now that's you're on a plane, you've got a suitcase. He goes, look at Mariah Carey with his suitcase. I'm like, that's what people take with them on holiday, Chris.
No, they don't. They take a small bag.
He's literally a Tesco shopping bag or Waitrose in Chris's case with a pair of underpants in it. That's him.
Scandalous. Travel light and be wieldy. Then you're manageable. You can react to situations. You turn up with two suitcases, load of white linen. I mean, honestly, it's like Beyonce.
And lad like yourself as well.
That was a long time ago.
If you're going on holiday, you've got a suitcase. Yeah, don't tell me you've not got a suitcase.
I've got the one case, yeah.
Listen, he pulled me up when I first met him because he saw me put aftershave on. I'm like, this is just what people do.
No, it's not. One bath a week and travel light.
One bath a week. Jesus Christ.
What's Freddie like? He looks like he's a bit of a classic sportsman now. Yeah, when it comes to his kind of etiquette.
I keep my eye on him because he has a style team, Fred, doesn't he?
What?
He has like a guy.
Well, he's got his own fashion line, Flint Off by Giacomo.
Giacomo, yeah. Yeah, he's always getting his touched off by someone and what have you. So yeah, he's.
Let's say Fred has bought into the sartorial side of life. He likes to look good. I don't really understand any of that. What's wrong with his footwear? He's got big feet, hasn't he?
No, but some of the stuff he wears in studio, these Nike trainers he wears with the big, like, luminous balls underneath and all, I don't get that.
Well, I mean,
I mean, I've got to say, Paddy, you've got a fancy pair of kicks on right now.
Yeah, but they're just a white, they're just a white pair. They're just a white pair. Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's nothing there going on. They're just there. Whereas Fred's have like
I think on the bottom of it. There you go. Oh, there we go.
That's underneath.
What make are they?
That's underneath. That's underneath. That's just underneath.
I've never even heard of them. That's a lady stat. That is a lady stat.
You can buy lubes with like all spikes on the front and all that. That's not me.
Terrible.
Just a nice, simple pair. I like that. But Fred wears these ones like where they've got like these mad gel things underneath and all that carry on. It must be
what,
just
air bubbles.
Is that what they are?
Yeah,
I have not.
He's big into those.
He loves the air
bubbles.
They make
him even taller because he lies about his height. I've never met anyone that lies about their height, downgrading it. He says he's 6'4". He's not. He's a good 6'6".
I said to him once, "What are them?" He went, "Yeezys." I went, "You're 42." I went, don't be giving it Yeezys at that age.
Also, the way these two say Yeezy, Yeezys.
The Yeezys. I'm like, you can't be wearing them at your age.
Have you not picked up any greater Manchester or Lancashire-isms then, hanging around these two guys?
I'm starting to understand the way they talk a bit. I love the fact that when the show goes out in America, they have subtitles. I'm not kidding. They both have subtitles. They have subtitles, those two, and I don't. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, it's impenetrable, isn't it? At times, you know, when he starts talking about that's reet, that is, that's reet.
Yeah. When we're chatting, me and Fred, and then Chris pulls us up on something, when he does tell us how it's supposed to be done properly, I do go, oh, yeah, I get that. But I take no notice of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I think audience has grown massively north of Birmingham, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Massively.
Yeah, we brought a northern audience in.
Good, two right. Now, I feel like Freddie's not here, so we can't really defend himself. If he was here and I was going to ask him what he's looking forward to showing us in the next season, what do you reckon he'd say?
He's sure so.
Yeah.
Does he get his
loves
getting,
he loves he's the housewife's favourite. Yeah, he loves... there's one particular scene where we're covered in lube.
Right.
And his T-shirt's all stuck to him and what have you. He gets out the car and takes it off. You know, I mean, in my eyes, we should have a slow-mo on that bit with some kind of
cam.
Yeah, with some a bit of sexy music going under there. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, he likes getting his top off, does Fred.
I've still got my Christmas socks on. Look at those.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Look at those.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
Well, they're clean.
Brilliant.
See, again, when you go to the sock drawer, you just go for the clean ones. If there's one pair left, you wear them, don't you?
Well, usually, if they're in a sock drawer, they're clean anyhow. So they're all clean in a sock drawer, aren't they? You don't put dirty socks back in the sock drawer.
No, but you know the way, when you're a student or like me, if you're 45, you put your socks in the corner of the room. If you leave them there for a week, they clean themselves. You can put them back on again, can't you?
That's disgusting.
Oh, that's just being a man.
Do you give them, I do, like, once in a while, you have to give them a sniff check, though, just to check the socks.
Sniff check everything.
Really?
Most of the stuff he has
failed. But you see, coming into my way of thinking, where you say that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, at first, you were having a go about the suitcase with him, but now you see what he's like. You can see when we're travelling anywhere, this is the constant thing. I go, surely you must have a toothbrush. That's an essential, but he just like gets a few blades of grass off the floor and flosses with them or something, does Chris.
Surely.
You can see he's got his makeup person over there. She's got Paddy's makeup lady. She's a really lovely woman, actually, and she's, you know, she's like his rock because she's around the whole time. But if you see what she puts on his face, it just says orange, more orange, really fucking orange. That's her three options.
House brick's the last one. House brick.
to orange, yeah.
Terracotta, right through to house brick.
So we lost a few cars last season. I mean, Paddy, you lost the Hurst, the Overtaker.
Well, it was Fred who kind of lost for me.
But I thought it was a loss for yourself. That was your thing that you brought to the table.
It's a strange thing when we started doing the car up and you're out in it. You do forget what that car's job was in its original life.
Yeah.
And it was actually a lovely car to drive. You know, it really was. It's only when you kind of look in the rearview mirror, you go, oh, yeah, I remember what was normally kept back there.
And
so
breathe
yeah.
through your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly. It looked like it smelled like that. I don't know if people noticed, but there was like a kind of like mold kind of at the top of the car, and I could almost smell that.
The thing was so wrong. There was the residue of death in there.
Wow. I think most cars, challenge cars, are old. So they're all a bit... Musty and smelly and what have you. So,
but the Renault 4, so I rescued the Renault 4. The Renault 4 is on its way back.
Oh,
now.
I was going to ask you about that, because that was just a very emotional
moment.
It's
just landed back in the UK, and I'm going to fully restore it. And
how fucked is it?
It's rooted, but the shell's just about salvageable, so we're going to get it back together again, and I'm going to have a mint Renault 4. It'll owe me about 10 grand at the end and be worth about two, but I will have another crap French car to go in my shed of crap French cars.
The guy who we got it off was one of, he loved it.
Oh, you know, God.
It was a mint of that car. I'm saying these cars, were, you know, that I think that was, there's one I've been in, I went, oh, actually, this is in good nick. And it shows you, and it's genuine within the films. We don't want to wreck them. You know, we won't wreck them for wrecking them's sake. But some of the environments you're in, things are going to happen to the cars, you know. And they're going out in a bit of a hurrah, really.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just.
That's the bit that I find difficult. Because I'm sort of connected to that petrolhead audience. I get a load of grief saying, well, how dare you take a car like that? And it's unrepeatable. It should be preserved. But the 106 Rally, okay, it looked pretty good. And cosmetically, it was fine. But it'd done 158,000 miles. The shell was a bit weak on it. It probably wasn't going to make another MOT. So either it just sits in someone's lot and rots and it just gets crushed, or it gets sent out driving up a Himalayan mountain. I know what I'd rather have as a send off.
Good way to go. It was a good way for it to go, but I felt quite, I didn't have a tear in my eye, but it looked like hammed it up a little bit.
The guy that was flying the drone that day, or one of the cameramen, I think, just turned around to me after we had to leave it there and get on with the journey.
Okay,
and
so he really did leave it.
No. We left it there and went back two days later. And then picked it up and brought it back. Yeah. There wasn't much traffic around. No one was going to nick it. And I just heard this bloke go, oh, shit, they shot Bambi. he's got it about right. They shot Bambi. Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. No, it's coming back. It is back. It's landed in the UK, and I've now got a bit of a project on my hand to make it work again.
Yeah, throw that up on social media. I think that'll
I have done. It's really bought well. It's bought me less grief, let's say.
Okay, cool.
I thought that it had ended up at Bewley.
No, I've asked to buy it.
Right,
yeah, okay. The way it works with the Beeb is, you know, because of the unit where the BBC's funded, they are BBC assets. So I've had to buy it.
Yeah.
And then I have to go and restore it. It's a totally uneconomical exercise, but I really want that car.
Passion though, isn't it?
Fair enough. Someone's probably going to tell us to edit that bit out. Anyway, right. So before I let you get out of here, if there were three of you, I'd probably ask for three things from this season that you can tell us that we should look forward to, obviously without spoiling it.
Mm.
Do you want to go first, Paddy?
Roast guinea pigs in Peru.
Okay, then.
There you go.
Deary me. I would say the McLaren Speedtail racing an F-35 Lightning jet, because that was extraordinary. Pab filmed that with me, and we basically had our own private air show at RAF Marham, and it was un-effing believable, that machine.
Oh, yeah, that as well.
Yeah. that and the roast guinea pig, yeah?
And the roast guinea pigs.
Yeah. All right, wicked. So bringing back a challenge that we haven't seen in the past, I mean, that we've seen in the past. And taking it to the next level and that. Can we have another thing for Freddie? I feel like he's not here. What can we look forward to from Freddie? And apart from the naked.
Well,
the
teeth.
Yeah, teeth.
Bowling.
Ginger masquerade in a strawberry blonde. Tall. Throwing himself off a dam.
Right.
There's a lot of things.
Great.
There's a lot of things.
The one that people will talk about at the end of this series is him going off a dam. That is a real Top Gear moment. And I'm sad he's not here to talk about it. But honestly, the seeds he had to do that. Because I stood there on the day watching him do it. And every single moment was tempered with, I'm really glad that's not me.
Fred Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Well, you'll see it tonight. That is a bit of a hurry one, really. Yeah.
All right, well, I look forward to the screening. Thanks very much, guys.
Is that us?
Yeah, man.
A gentleman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, our nice little chat with Chris Harris and Paddy McGuinness from the new season of Top Gear, out on the 26th of January 2020. Make sure you check it. It's, like I said, man, great experience. As you can hear, the chemistry between them was amazing. My name's been Marcus Bronzy. This has been How to Kill an Hour. Don't forget to check the whole video that we've put up on our YouTube channel. We've also shared it within our Facebook group at How to Kill an Hour. On all social medias, we're at How to Kill an Hour. I'm Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. In the meantime, there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.